Thank you, Steve. And I guess I was thinking back there, I've been up here a lot of times over the last 10 years. I've been fortunate to be able to give praise and glory to God for what He has done in my life. And now it's not new anymore, I don't think, because I see a lot of friends that I've made over the years and thankful for that. And, you know, those 10 times that we met or a little bit more, I've never lost weight since. So I was thinking while he's saying we'd meet for lunch, I thought I just kept growing and growing and growing, not just in the Word, but in the middle section. So, no, it is good to see everybody, and I'll be fairly quick. I know we have a lot going on. So if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse 1, a scripture that's been shared many, many times, some things I think that as a grace believer and one that is saved by grace, I believe today society, just as it did in times past, has made that word grace extremely hard to understand for most people because they elaborate on it and they trust in the wisdom of the world instead of what God's Word just plainly says. And I tell you, a lot of times, many preachers can get more busy on trying to impress a congregation on his message than he has also lost focus in the congregation also as knowing what grace is. We get so busy trying to entertain instead of just simply speaking the truth. To where today, most people, you can say grace, and you can tell them what it means, and a lot of times you elaborate so much, you make something so simple, because man has made it so complicated. And I believe that's what we see today. In fact, on the way here, a lot of times when you come this way, there is a particular church, and this is something that I always have to think about. But the title of the sign on their church is Grace Works. Think about it. I mean, you're going to sit there and think about it for a while because you think, well, yes and what? No. You know, and that's what I do for like the next 15 minutes over here every time I try to think about it. I mean, we have confused a lot of things that are simple. We can make it a lot easier and just know that it's grace worked. Make it a lot easier where you don't have to think about it anymore. That's what we do. And that's what the Apostle Paul faced in times past when he received the revelation of the mystery. Because there were a group of people we know as Israel. They believed in the one true God. And they were doing those things that they were told. But they became so dependent upon the leaders who they thought were leaders that they never recognized the King. Never recognized Him. So Paul gets a new truth, a new understanding that saves all mankind, even those that he loved that were his own that didn't see the truth. And he says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So, understandably, they're not saved. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Wow, what a picture in the society today! You see concerts for Jesus, music for Jesus. You see churches that blast out the name of Jesus. You see everybody doing things in honor of the name of Jesus. But they don't even recognize the things that were given because of Jesus. They worship another Jesus, is what they do. And so therefore he says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You know, that's the problem today. There are many, many people that I run into and have an acquaintance with through work, just through knowing other friends. They have a zeal of God, but it's in ignorance because they don't understand the message of grace. Doesn't make me any better than them. Doesn't make me any worse than me. But what it does do, them not understanding grace, it makes them lost. And that's the problem. In fact, we've become so big on trying to make big the things that are not important in society today that you see whether denomination or whether what religion is now, it's just a competition. Who's better than who? In fact, go with me to Romans chapter 14 and just look at verse 1. Paul gives us a scenario to those that are saved, that have trusted in the gospel of the grace of Christ. And he says in Romans 14:1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful dispensations. For one believeth that he may not eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Well, the issue for this individual is whether he's saved or not, is whether he understands grace. Does that mean we need not be more wise in the Word and grow? Sure we do. But we don't make things important that are just not that important. In fact, the Word goes ahead and says, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." That's what we rejoice in. The simple understanding of grace. Not making it hard. If you decide to live one way your life and you're not basing it on your salvation, give praise to God. If you decide to live differently than your brother and it's not things that are specific that have anything to do with your salvation, still give thanks to God. You can tell by the meetings that Steve and I had that I don't eat herbs. If I do, I eat other things too. But regardless whether my brother, what he eats, how he lives, what he wears, where he goes, the issue is, does he give glory to God on the basis of being saved by grace? You know, the Scripture goes on to talk about, Paul goes ahead and he mentions, let's just scroll on down real quick. Verse 9. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and received, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The issue is it's not whether somebody's better than somebody else. And another issue is we're going to give account to the way we live, not by what we've done in our flesh, but by what we've trusted in with Christ in us. But we've lost that focus because we're so busy trying to be better than the other or making things that are not very important very important. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 is a good example. There's the issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul's making the comment of people were making much of other men. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." See, every man receives his own reward according to his labor. Notice, this is individually. It's not as a group. I believe today that what we do is not near as important than with which the attitude that we do it. He says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are an instrument this morning to preach and to teach and to minister the grace of God and to make it simple. Well, man has made it complicated. Man has made people have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. Instead, it's according to the kind of works that they do, as if they're doing God a big favor. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, turn with me there. See, what we're doing for Christ, what we are doing with Christ in us, is not for us, it's for God. It's not about us. Even though Paul, with all his credentials, think about it, with what was given to Paul, Paul was saying, it's not about me, it's about what God did. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, "For I am the least of all of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." That means that grace that God bestowed upon him wasn't meaningless. It had meaning. He said it was not in vain, but I labored, there's that word again, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So tonight, without the grace of God, we are nothing. It doesn't matter what we build or where we go or what we do or whether we eat better than somebody else or whether we give thanks and somebody doesn't give thanks. If you don't get down to the basics at the very beginning and let the individual understand grace, he'll always be nothing no matter what he accomplishes. I can remember growing up always in church. And I tell you, I can always remember, it was amazing. You pat me on the back, I would do anything you wanted me to do. I mean, that's just, you know, I loved, that's just how I was. I enjoyed being a part of it. And looking at all the accomplishments that took place, as if I had done something. Now, we're talking from a young person all the way up to his 30s. It was the same way. I just got better at it, as though I had something to give God, not recognizing the whole time He had something to give me. And everything I had done before that, I had done in my own flesh. Think about the people today that have the zeal for God. They'll say, "Man, let me tell you about my church. Let me tell you about my..." And it's always about the building. It's always about the entertainment. Think about spending your whole life consistently, every week, week in, week out, going to your place. It's what you usually call it. It's our place. And never understanding grace. Because teachers and preachers and writers and singers
have just made it complicated.
Yeah. That's what Paul's saying. You know, in 1 Corinthians, he mentions people talk about, well, I was baptized by Paul, and I was by Apollos. Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize anyone besides Gaius and Crispus. Because it was shadowing the cross. It was covering up the most important thing, and that was grace. As a body of believers, we need to first set the precedence that the person beside us understands grace. Because if they understand not grace and everything else, they are wasting their life. So without grace, without the grace of God, we're nothing. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So then, we can rejoice in the fact of understanding the grace of God. It doesn't come from performing. We need to know it's not about elevating self, and it's not about us being exalted. What it's about is exalting the one who paid for our sins. That's what it's about. If we come for any other reason, then we're missing what grace is all about. To exalt God on the basis of what He did. If we make anything else more important, then we rejoice in the wrong things. And those are things that I need to be careful about, because it gets easy to get puffed up and excited about things that go on in life. But if we ever make it more important, as if it's something we've done, we've missed the grace of God. It's not about building a name for ourselves that we're somebody or something. Paul said that he labored more abundantly than all, not I, but the grace of God in me. So the one who has already performed is not us. The one who has already performed and saw it perfectly done was God Almighty. That's something that we can be thankful for. The one who is today is Christ in us. He lives in us and through us, not in our ability, not the ability of ourselves. There are a lot of things that we can do in life, and there's a lot of things we ought to do. There are awesome causes and endeavors that we can do as a person that we can be a part of. But the issue is, Paul says, of what sort it is. What is the motivation behind what you live by? Is it God doing it through you? Or is it for yourself to feel a sense of accomplishment? Or is it yourself trying to impress others? Even though Paul could spill out everything that he was a part of, he would want us to know it's not the man, it's the grace of God working in him. Turn with me in closing to Colossians 2:6. It's a little application for us. First of all, to understand, when we share the message of grace, or when we share the Word of God, the one thing we better make sure that person understands in front of us, before they can divide anything else, before they can establish anything else, they need to understand the grace of God. Because without understanding that, nothing else matters. Without understanding the grace of God, based on the fact that Christ paid your debt, that He was faithful to go to that cross, and He was dead and buried and resurrected the third day, and by His grace, not your grace, by His grace you're saved. Without that understanding, there's no reason to go any further. Colossians 2:6 gives us application. The Apostle Paul says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That's a responsibility that we have. So as saved people, we need to what? Walk in grace. What is it to walk in grace?
Well, first you have to understand grace before you can walk in it. People that don't understand the grace of God can't walk in it. Usually people that don't understand the grace of God tell you about all the things that they've done. Tell you all the things that their group's doing. Because they don't understand the grace of God. Find somebody that brags on everything except for what the Word of God said, you'll usually find somebody that doesn't understand the grace of God. They're usually very religious. They compare what they do and you don't, and what you do and they don't. Because they're working, 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 never understanding grace. People need grace today. And they need us to walk in grace. We have no other right to hand out anything but grace. We sure can't judge each other if we look at ourselves and who we are without Christ. The only difference in us compared to anyone else is Christ in us. We all have a proclivity to be an awful, wretched, ugly person. Amen? But we also have the ability, when understanding grace, to walk in grace. That's what people need. You beat people up over and over and over again like religion does, they'll never be interested. But you love somebody that they know they're really not lovable, you'll share the world with them. You know, Steve, what he said before when we first met is, I didn't think about this until just now, but the difference in what I know now and what I knew 10 years ago was not somebody telling me I was wrong or I was doing something wrong. The difference was the fact he took the time to share what grace really was. To somebody that had been in church for 30 years, you'd think I'd know. But it didn't. Well, the same action needs to be towards us, to others. Beating them over the head, they get that all week long. Instead, take the denomination, all the labels off, and walk in grace. It'll change lives. Promise you. Amen? Let's pray.